Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Soar by Sloan Murphy. Narrated by Jennifer Jill Araya and Sean Patrick Hopkins. Do not fear the thing before you. Fear the thing that created it instead. Nikita Gill. Chapter 1. Addie. I never thought it would come to this, that each of those moments, the happy, the sad, the good and the bad, would build up to me being here, in this moment, and having to say goodbye to someone I never expected to have such an impact on my life. I've said the word goodbye too much in the last year, and now, knowing all I know, I fear I will be saying it for a long time to come. I was useless at arranging this funeral for him. It made me realize just how little I knew about him, about how little I learned about his past, and how small a piece of time I had with him compared to some of the people surrounding me. At times, I've almost felt guilty about the magnitude of my despair, but I only got him for such a short time, and I feel cheated that he was taken from me so soon. Dimitri has been a godsend this week. He and Caden joined forces with Cass to prepare everything. They contacted Xander's friends and managed to coordinate everyone to be here today in order to say our final goodbyes. I stand back and watch, unable to move as Dimitri, Caden, Cass, Gunner, Zero, and Marcus walk Xander's body between the aisles of people. Tears fall down my face, but I do nothing to hide them. The love of my life is gone. I shall never see his smile, his face, again. Never feel the softness of his lips on mine, or hear that special laugh that was reserved just for me. He is gone, and I lost myself right along with him. I watch as they each turn to each other. The fallen are among them, and they unfurl their wings in order to carry him to the top of the pyre. The stoic looks on each of their faces are a mask, hiding the pain I know they each feel inside. If it's even a tenth of the raging agony that burns through me, I know how hard it is for them to keep that mask in place. All except Caden lower themselves back down to the ground, joining Cass before coming to stand beside me in the front row. Dimitri takes my hand in his, squeezing it, and I squeeze back. It's all I can manage. I'm waiting for the pianist to finish her haunting melody and for Caden to say something, even though the words are most likely going to destroy me.
"Friends, loved ones, family," he says. "It is an honor, a privilege, and a great sadness for me to pay tribute today to a very special person who touched and blessed us all in different ways. My big brother."
Caden's voice cracks and he pauses for a moment, turning his eyes to the sky.
"My brother was taken from us too soon. He lived his life to the full and touched so many people during his time here. Xander meant so many different things to so many different people. He was a friend, a confidant, a warrior, a lover."
Caden's eyes fall to me, and I can barely hold the scream of pain.
"He was a person you could depend on, a leader. He was loyal to his core, and he could forgive even those who had wronged him in the worst imaginable ways. I know each of us will remember him differently, but I will always think of him as my big brother, the man who saved my life more times than I can count. He was the man who looked past our differences, past my indiscretions, and loved me despite them, even when I made it almost impossible. I had only just reunited with him after too long a time apart. I will regret that distance that fell between us for the rest of my time. So, brother, hear me when I say I cannot bring myself to say goodbye. So for now, I will say adieu.
It's only been a week. Just 7 days without Xander. But it already feels like an eternity. I can't get away from the burning pain. He haunts my thoughts. The knowledge that his death is my fault paralyzes me. I watch on, frozen with grief, as Caden walks towards me and Cass puts the torch to the bottom of the pyre. As Caden puts his arms around me, he breaks. The sobs take over his body as the flames lick up the pyre, sending Xander to his final resting place. It's all I can do to stay standing. I open my mouth to speak, but a sob rips out and my legs give way. Caden falls with me and we sit curled into each other, crying for the man we had too little time with. Time passes, and I'm vaguely aware of the people moving around, but our attention is captivated by the flames. As much as we cannot bear to look, neither of us can turn away. We watch until there is nothing left but a pile of ash and burning embers.
Caden,
Michael says softly.
You need to get up,
he coaxes. Caden is rigid, his jaw set with anger. Caden, I whisper, looking up at him. It takes a minute before he looks at me, and when he does, I see all the pain and burning anger. His monster is simmering just beneath the surface, and he's only just containing it. Caden, we should go inside, I say. His eyes close for a moment, and I give him a moment to collect himself. Dimitri puts a hand out for me, and I take a deep breath as I pull myself up. Celeste is leaning on Michael, and Rose is wrapped in Benny's arms. I feel needles sting my heart. I miss Xander so much. It all feels so raw, like my nerve endings are open. It's all too much. I watch after Caden as he stalks off into the distance. Pain flits across Dimitri's face. Dimitri has always been there for me, through everything. But right now, I need to be alone. I'm sorry, I say. My voice is husky and my throat dry from all of the crying. I walk towards the main building of the reservation and make my way inside the hall, up the stairs, to Xander's room. The pillows smell like him. His things are still strewn across the room as if he's going to return any minute. His leather jacket hangs on the back of a chair and his black boots sit beside the dresser. If I didn't know better, I'd think he'd just gone to grab a drink before coming back to me. I close the door behind me, leaning back on it before sliding to the floor. If I close my eyes, I can almost imagine he's asleep on the bed, quiet but here. The peace I feel in those fleeting moments is almost worth the heart-wrenching pain that rips through me when reality settles. But I can't stop myself from pretending in those moments. I crawl over to the bed and get on it, pulling the borrowed black funeral dress over my head and putting on Xander's black t-shirt before curling up. The smell of him is starting to fade because I've been in here so much, but the thought of being anywhere else is more than I can bear. When I close my eyes, I think of the man who loved me more than anyone else ever did. Drifting in and out of sleep, I swear I can feel his arms wrapped around me, cocooning me in his love. But when I wake, the cold starkness of my reality hits me. He's really gone, and he's not coming back. In every scenario I played out whilst I was Cole's prisoner, Xander was stood beside me, through everything. He was my constant. We had only just begun, and we still had so much to do, to learn, to explore. And now, that's all gone. I have no idea where to go from here. And it's all my fault. It's my fault he's gone. My fault everyone else is hurting. The guilt weighs down on me, suffocating me. and I feel the panic sink in and take a hold of me. I try to breathe, but it feels like a lead weight is pressing down on my chest. I can't move. I try to scream something, anything, but nothing comes out. For a second, I feel bliss hidden in my panic, for maybe I'll stop breathing, and then I'll be with him again. There's a crunch, a splintering of wood, and then arms wrap tightly around me.
You're going to be okay, Addie. Come on, breathe for me. He wouldn't want you to hurt like this. Breathe!
The words filter through the fog surrounding my brain, and the pressure of arms around me loosens the weight on my chest. I suck in a lungful of air and realize he broke down the door to get in here.
It's going to be okay, Addie. We're going to be okay,
Caden whispers. That's when I realize Caden has saved me from myself. And whilst I know I should feel weird about Xander's brother being in my bed, I can't find the strength to care.
Caden, I never meant for any of this to happen, and I definitely didn't mean to end up in Addie's bed with her wrapped in my arms. Yet I can't see the point in worrying about any of it. I thought I had forever, but recent events have shown me that nothing is infinite. I've never been one to hold back, to not go after the things I wanted. But Addie is different. She belonged to Xander, and even though he's gone, I know he still holds her heart. She will belong to him for a long time yet. I'm selfish. I'm spontaneous. And I can be totally self-centered, but I'm loyal to those I care about. And just like all fallen, I love deeply. Because when we truly fall in love, that is it for us. Yes, we can love more than once, but that epic, breathtaking, world-stopping love, that's a one-time thing. Once we find the other half of ourselves, it is rare we ever feel that again. I know the chances of Addie loving me the way she loved my brother are slim, but I can't give up hope that she'll be the exception. She is in every other way. Staring at her, I find my pain lessens. That's why I came here. I was drowning in my own despair. I needed saving. But when I heard Addie stop breathing, I knew I had to save her. I was the one who needed to be strong, and once I saw her, the pain dulled. Suddenly it didn't consume every corner of my soul. So, like the selfish bastard I am, I climbed into bed with her. I didn't touch her, I just watched her as she slept. That was until she started flailing around again. She was screaming, and then suddenly she wasn't breathing. I pulled her into me and squeezed her tightly so she knew she wasn't alone. I promised that I'd never leave her, and I meant it. Just thinking Xander's name makes my heart burn. We wasted so much time being angry at each other, fighting, being on opposite sides of this ridiculous war, all for nothing. Elaine, the sister I once knew, would have been furious at me for holding her death against Xander. But now it seems she's likely alive. I don't know that I've even had time to process that fully yet. It still doesn't feel quite real. I have no idea where she is. There's a chance that Cole's death has endangered her. Thoughts jumble in my head, whirring around, making any actual thought pattern impossible. I close my eyes and pull Addie further to my chest, breathing her in. Eventually, I fall asleep to the sound of her beating heart. A knock on what's left of the door stirs me from my sleep, and I wake with a weight on my chest that shouldn't be there. I slowly open my eyes and realize Addie is still curled up on me. A smile haunts my lips. The knock goes again, and I move gently so as not to disturb her before I walk to the door and yank it open. I see the look on Dmitri's face and roll my eyes.
What?
I whisper harshly. Don't get your panties in a bunch. She was having nightmares all bloody night, and when I came in she was having a panic attack. So take your judging looks to someone who gives a damn. Calm your shit, Caden. I came to check on her and found you here. With your history, can you really question my speculation? He asks, with a voice full of accusation. My anger grows. How dare he? About me? No. I'm a dick, but not her. Addie doesn't deserve your judgment. She's not like that, and you should know better. The door is beginning to falter under my raging grasp. I release it and cross my arms across my chest, trying to smother my anger. He realizes what he's done, and he scrubs his hand down his face. You're right. It's just been a rough few days, and I've barely slept. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'll come back later. Just let her know I came to see her. I can see the strain on his face, the weariness, the toll of the past few days, and my anger dissipates, knowing he has lost a brother too. Don't worry about it, man. I'll tell her you stopped by, and I'll see you all in a bit. Sure thing. The Elite and I are heading back to the academy tomorrow, then back to the house to try and make sense of what happens next to House Bane. You know Xander always meant for you to be his second. I'm not that guy, Dmitri. Xander was the good guy, the leader. He was the responsible one. I'm not right for it. I'll just mess it up, like always, I say. I knew it was the plan before, but that was a very long time ago. Like once upon a time ago. I don't think Xander would want me filling his shoes in any way, shape or form, and just like that, guilt washes over me about Addie. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have been with her like I was. It's not my place to comfort her. It should have been Xander's. Come on, I say, following Dmitri out of the room. Let's go and get breakfast. Addie needs to sleep. I close the door behind me, walking beside him down to the kitchen diner. I'm met by a table full of people all staring at me.
No time to put on a shirt this morning, hey, Caden?
Celeste mocks in that default way she does. I know she's trying to be normal in abnormal circumstances, and I'm thankful for it.
Seriously, man, put it away. Michael jokes. You make the rest of us look like mere mortals.
He throws me a white vest top, which I put on and pull down to the band of my sweatpants. Better? I ask, not able to stop the laugh that follows. And just like that, the atmosphere in the room is lighter. I make myself a plate of bacon and eggs and grab a glass of blood from the heated bottles lined up on the counter before sitting at the table and listening to everyone around me making small talk.
My parents are dragging me back to England with them, Rose says. Apparently a princess has duties to do. I want to stay here with Addie, though. I'm worried.
She sits down next to Benny.
We're all heading back to the academy. Addie isn't going to be alone, Dmitri says, gesturing to the rest of Xander's elite.
Who says I want to go back there?
Addie says quietly from the doorway. I stand up out of old school manners. She shakes her head ever so slightly, but enough so I get the point and sit back down before raising curious looks from around the table.
Addie, I just assumed you'd want to come with us, Dmitri answers.
I can't go back there, Dmitri. Not now. Not now that he's gone. There's just too much history there.
She whispers, hugging herself tightly. It kills me to stay seated. The once fierce warrior, the girl who faced me down and put me in my place, is replaced by a meek mouse, and it's almost more than I can bear.
I can't go back home, to the cottage either, she says,
her voice wobbling. Michael stands and walks over to her, tucking her under his shoulder.
You can come back to the mansion with us, sweetie.
I'm sure Caden doesn't mind, do you, Caden?
Of course not. You're always welcome at my home, Addy.
Thank you.
Michael ushers her to the table and makes her sit before getting her a plate of food and a glass of blood. He places it down in front of her, and she pales even more, as if the realization of what she now is has only just occurred to her.
Then it's settled, I say. You'll come with us. I think everyone is leaving either today or tomorrow. We'll go as soon as you're ready.
Chapter 2. Addy. Looking around the room, I notice how bare it is now I've packed the few things Xander brought here with him when he arrived a few weeks ago. The pain that burns through me as I look at his belongings is a reminder that it's my fault Xander's gone. It's something I will have to live with forever. Today we're leaving the reservation, leaving Cass and Danny and all of the other wolves so they can carry on with their lives. The bitterness rises in my throat, leaving a sour taste in my mouth. I don't get it. My life is irrevocably changed, and I will never be the girl I was before. The one I was with him. I lost a part of myself when I lost him, and I don't want that part back. It belongs with him. The thought of ever loving that deeply again, of potentially having to feel this pain again, holds no appeal. The sound of conversation and laughter filters through the closed door as everyone says goodbye to each other. The anger rushes through me and I see red. My power surges like acid through my veins, and the darkness inside me grows. I step forward and rip open the door before storming down the hall to the communal room where everyone is gathered. How dare you! How dare you stand here, laughing, acting as if nothing has changed, as if he isn't gone? Don't you care? Are you truly that unfeeling? Didn't you love him? The words tumble out of my mouth, riding on the wave of my anger. Silence descends. Guilt, pain, fear, and shock are just some of the looks I receive, but none of them fully register.
Addy, it's not like that at all, and you know it. Please calm yourself,
Dimitri says, edging towards me slowly.
We miss him, but this is our way. We will remember him in the best way and honor him by doing what he would have wanted, which is to live our lives to the fullest, in the same way we would if he were still here.
So I'm not honoring him because I miss him? Because I grieve like the human I was raised to be? Is that what you're saying? I shout. My tension builds and I start to lose control of the power inside me.
No, Addy, of course not. Please, Addy, calm down. This isn't good for you,
he says, putting himself between me and everyone else in the room. He looks over my shoulder and I see the wariness in his eyes. But I can't find it in me to care that he seems afraid of me. From behind me, my hands are pinned to my side. Struggling, I try to release myself, but the grip is strong. Caden whispers in my ear,
"Calm, Addy."
The darkness inside me responds to him and starts to pull back. I close my eyes to the world and focus on his voice. Losing Xander has allowed the darkness to grow so much it has almost consumed me. Caden holds me steady, whispering to me, reassuring me that he has me and that I will reclaim the light. When I feel more like myself, I open my eyes to see the room has emptied and we are alone. My friends are scared of me. I'm scared of me. I lost control so easily. The darkness I feel since merging with Aveen is something I've never felt before. It's like a stain on my essence. Thank you, Caden, I say softly.
Anytime, Addy. I meant it when I said I've got you. I know what you went through, and that changes a person. Add that to the fact you're the reborn. Well, things are going to be hard for you. And you're still so young.
He releases his grip on me slightly, and I turn to face him. He tucks a strand of hair behind my ear and looks into my eyes.
I know all about that darkness, Addy. I succumbed to it. I lived it and breathed it for a really long time. At times, I think I'll never escape it. I can see that same darkness in you now. It will tug you down, and you'll feel like you're drowning. Then, all of a sudden, that feeling stops, and you embrace the darkness. That's when everything changes. You become someone, something you never expected, and definitely something you never wanted.
I've seen the darkness in him. I saw it the first time we met, and I remember how beautiful it looked. The darkness suited him. But now, I know differently. Pulling back from him, I hide myself from him. I'm going to finish packing up the room. I'm nearly done, I murmur, walking away from him. Walking away from a temptation I don't understand and I can't face.
Okay, Addy. I'll wait for you, he says, unmoving.
Thank you, I whisper, before hurrying away from him. Conflict battles inside me as it hits me again that Xander is gone and isn't coming back. Dimitri was right. Xander wouldn't want me to lose myself, to give in to whatever it is living inside of me. Rushing to my room, I close my door and let the tears erupt again. I'll never hear Xander's voice again.
Caden. I can hear her crying, and it hurts me more than I'd like to admit. But I know she needs to grieve, and I will not take advantage of that. When I saw her standing off against Dimitri earlier, my heart stopped. She looked so beautiful. The power flowing off of her was intoxicating, and it called to me in the most delightful of ways. But seeing the fear she elicited in the others, and knowing she would hate it that they were afraid of her, that Xander wouldn't want that for her, I stepped in. I know that darkness. I know its allure. I lived in my own darkness for such a long time. Each fallen carries it inside of them, but most reject it. It is our way to live in the light and to help people. Dimitri was right when he said the fallen were grieving in their own way. They were remembering the good times, as is the way of the fallen. We celebrate life rather than mourn death. I know she doesn't understand that. She has not been taught our ways or our heritage. I vowed to my brother that I would look after her if anything happened to him, and I will. At the time, I never considered it a possibility. I had resigned myself to the fact that Addy was his. I vowed that I could be her friend. Now everything's changed, and yet I can't help but feel unworthy of her.
Caden, are you ready? Michael asks from the door. I hadn't even noticed him appear. Pulling myself out of my self-centered pity party, I stand and nod. Just waiting on Addy, I reply. Is she okay? I mean, earlier was pretty intense. Michael says, trying to find a smile to conceal his fear. She'll be okay. She needs support. She wasn't raised the way we were. She only knows human ways. She doesn't understand the danger of losing control of herself. We'll need to be there for her, help her come to terms with it all, teach her how to deal with all she is. Michael nods. He's one of the most compassionate people I know. It'll be good for Addy to be around him now. I wonder if he can sense the self-interest in my voice. Maybe you should go and help her finish up, and I'll help Celeste pack the car, I prompt.
Sure thing, boss man, he says, before heading off down to her room. He's been through so much, but his light shines brighter than any other I know. I watch him disappear before heading outside to help Celeste.
I should have known better.
I laugh, seeing Celeste sat on the roof of the black 4x4 eating gummy bears. All of our stuff is already packed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?